When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mitch takes the knee, and this place erupts. That will do it. A major upset. And when we left the parking lot at Highmark Stadium last week, there were so many questions about this football team. I can't even begin to tell you how many there were. There are a few answers today. That's the end of the game at AccraSure with a final score. Pittsburgh 20, Tampa Bay 18.
And so ended the curse of not being able to win without TJ. It's over. It's over. Yes. Gone was Minka, right? Gone was Akello Witherspoon. Gone guys were Cam Sutton and Levi Wallace. Across the line of scrimmage stood the GOAT, Tom Brady. He stared down the likes of James Pierre, Josh Jackson, and Quincy Wilson, and Elijah Riley. And guess what? The GOAT blinked, Max. The GOAT blinked. And the Steelers take down the Tampa Brady Buccaneers.
Hey. Down goes Brady. Down goes Brady. He came into Sunday 12-3. He left 12-4. And oh my, oh my. What, talk about it, man. I mean, what a tremendous team win this was. I mean, the fact that it took two quarterbacks to win this game says one thing, but the fact that you took an entire secondary out of the game,
mind-boggling.
And they weren't available. It was mind-boggling. We will get to our kudos and our game balls later, but I am just so thoroughly impressed with what this team was able to muster. Coming off of the heels of a bad defeat to Buffalo and all of the ire around the league and all of the questions, the whisperings, the murmurings that went on. Heck, the doubt that went on, you know, up in the press box, right? I mean, right. We were all nervous about what was going to happen and what we could do out here. The biggest point deficit the Steelers have ever faced at home for a spread, you know, in the team history. There was a lot at stake, and when I say that to a man, they answered the call. They rang the bell, they raised the hand and stood and was accounted for. It was tremendous to watch, Wolf.
It really was. You know, I was so excited just because they were competing and competing hard. You know, after last week, it's just like you said, there is that horrible feeling after a horrible game that gives you a horrible week and will also bleed into the next game unless you make a determined whole all together, everybody in and turn this thing around type of approach. And that's exactly what it was. By golly, I mean, Quincy Wilson has not played a game, I don't think, since, I don't know, a year or two. I mean, you know, I mean, you got James Pierre made a couple of huge plays out there and was combative all day long, competing for that ball. You know, I mean, Terrell Austin, you got to give him a game ball. Him and Brian Flores, and let's throw Mike Tomlin in there. Yeah, you got the three headed monster of the defense there. Those guys really came up with some stuff that I hadn't seen before, that I just not seen. You know, I mean, one of them was taking Robert Spillane, making him kind of like he did a lot of Minka stuff inside the box. You know, whether it was he did a little Tampa too, you know, running out to the seam route like 15 yards deep at the snap of the ball from the line. There was, I don't know, this, I can't say enough about the coaching, the players coming together for a great game to take down a great player.
Yeah, and I mean, biggest play of the day, right? Had to have gone to Devin Bush on that 2-point conversion.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. I mean,
give it
the
up.
Way that he bounced off of one player to cover the next player. You know, I mean.
He took the first read away, didn't he, bud?
Yeah, he did. Took the first one away and then came off at the last second to block the actual throw. I mean, Devin Bush did a great. I mean, think about Miles Jack Iron Man style, right?
Right. Yes.
Miles Jack was limping almost three quarters of that game. But that dude put his face in the fan every single time. And it was tremendous ball playing by him. Larry Ogunjobi.
Ooh,
right?
Yes. Was he big yesterday?
Oh, coming off the back and then, you know, got shaken up a little bit more with the knee. But, or I should not say knee. I shouldn't be so specific. It was right leg.
Okay.
Right lower body injury, right?
Yes.
But I mean, it was amazing just to watch these dudes. It was like they did not want to, they were not going to be denied. Not want to. They were not going to be denied in this game. And it was just tremendous to watch, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
It was almost like a coming of age party for this group. Because you already had a lot of youth and there was a lot of challenges faced in front of you, and you've been hearing about how good this Tampa Bay defense was. You were hearing how, you know, I mean, obviously the legend of Tom Brady, it beating you before you even get on the field, right? And the city of Pittsburgh is 2-0 against the city of Tampa Bay after this weekend, because the Pens went and whipped the pants off of the Lightning the night before.
Oh, okay. So, I was trying to wonder where he were going with that.
Well, yeah, because the Tampa Bay Lightning Penguins played Saturday night. Okay. That's why it was so busy downtown. And then, of course, you had the Bucks game on Sunday against the Steelers. And, man, it was just a tremendous weekend for Pittsburgh sports.
You know, it really was. And one of the guys that played a key role was Terrell Edmonds. You know, you got 10 tackles there, one tackle for loss. But as Mike Tomlin said, he was the calm and reassuring voice at the back end that kept the communication going between a lot of guys that, you know, there are a lot of guys in that secondary that were wearing tags that says, "Hi, my name is." You know what I mean? Yeah. They literally, they didn't know each other hardly, you know? And at the same time, you got Terrell Edmonds out there playing outstanding ball and then keeping things together by making sure all those guys were dotting the I's, crossing the T's, doing what they needed to do to communicate. And I thought that was a huge, huge part of it. That was great stuff there.
No, it was great. And from my vantage point, you know, I got to see, you know, Terrell just orchestrating, right? I mean,
right.
Just yelling at guys, "Hey, da 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 da, hey, da 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 da." And you saw him really mature and become like that signal caller on the back half. The things that Minka does. Like, you saw him taking the extra attention and making sure he put guys in the right place to be successful. And it was great to see. And I mean, I was ecstatic. Trey Norwood also, way to grow up, young fella.
Oh, yeah.
He played a big game, had some big sticks, some big breakups along the way. And they frustrated Tom Brady. And then the pressure that came to him, I mean, he was getting pressure all the time. And so he was never truly comfortable. And it was awesome to see all the different things they tried to do and get into, you know, the right position and try and outflank us. You know, I was really surprised that offensive line – for the Tampa Bay Bucs. I know they're a little bit up in arms, but for the most part, they got all their guys. Two new ones. Oh, well, the middle's new, but veteran.
Yeah, Robert Haynes. But, yeah, he's a good, competent center.
Yeah, good, competent center, but he's not Ryan Jensen, no. Right? You lose Ali Marpet. You lose Alex Kappa. But yet you pick up a Shaq Mason, right? I mean, there was some good guys in there, and our boys just absolutely dogged them, especially in the run game. Like Leonard Fournette could not get going. I know Leonard Fournette had that one outside run where it seemed like he was the unblockable man. You couldn't stop him for the touchdown. But for the rest of the day, they bottled him up. I mean, they absolutely corralled him and kept him under wraps. And I thought that was going to be one of the things they were going to try and do. And the Steelers snuffed that out and made Tom one-dimensional.
You know, it begoggled me that he did not press the issue down the field. You know what I mean? I really thought he was going to go after the James Pierres, the Quincy Wilsons, you know, Elijah Riley, all these young bucks, Josh Jackson, and those guys. And he did go after them, but it wasn't like he was loading up trying to throw the 50-yard bomb and go over the top all the time. And he kept really what they've been doing the last several weeks. I mean, he's throwing 8 out of 10 times, 25% of the time. He's checking it down to his running backs. You know what I mean? But I really thought he might open up and go after him. And I was surprised that, you know, the most, like, upset I saw him was he went after his offensive line there, like right before halftime, yelling at him. And I thought, that's kind of un-Brady-ish.
Well, you know, I think a lot of things happening this season are going to be un-Brady-ish for Tom Brady just because, you know, it's a different situation. The way that he came back into the league, of course, this year after retiring and then unretiring – was going to put some challenges in front of him. But I will say this, it was something that was tough to watch, but I've also seen other Hall of Fame quarterbacks yell at their offensive line. That never ends well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just found it surprising. You know, but at the same time, you know, if I understand the message that he was relaying was, you guys are better than this, you know, and – you know, yeah. That's the GOAT is one of the guys that actually, now that I think about it, really, you know, he can get away with that, you know?
Yeah, he can. He can get away with it, like you said, because he knows what that expectation looks like. He knows what these guys can do, especially certain individuals, like they're both the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
But our team just played better than them on yesterday.
Yeah.
They got after him. They won the one-on-one battles, you know. Gedeki, since you can't say Gedeki, Gedeki,
yeah,
was pressured. I mean, Cam Hayward pressed the issue on that poor boy.
Oh, he did.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's bench pressing right now as our show is on air, just to make sure, because he couldn't get those arms extended to save his life.
No.
I mean, Cam Hayward was obviously more than he could bench. He was getting collapsed. I mean, those were just, you know, when you look at those things, I mean, it just guys doing their job, right? We talked about their 111th, doing their 111th to the best of their ability. And this is the type of result you get. You know, I was – so, you know, I rushed to catch my flight, Wolf, which I did catch it apparently.
You know, I'm sitting in here with Wes, you know, and – Brian Lamartina, right? I go, did we find out if Max made it to the flight last night? Because I know it was tough. You know, I got caught up in the traffic myself. How close was it?
I was probably the third to last person to get on the plane.
Wow. Wow.
And people were like, you know, and some of the people that were on the flight, like there was a guy in front of me and a guy to my across the aisle on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we left the game at 4 minutes left. How did you were on the field. I was like, yes, I was on the field. I did my final sign off and I ran to get to the car, to get in the car, to get here. And we took the most roundabout way. Wolf, what I tell you, you would have been like, oh my gosh. Cause we cut through the city to get onto the parkway.
Right, right.
And
is it worse than one of my schemes? Because you know, yeah. I'm really bad at that.
Listen, but you're 2 for 2 on your schemes, Wolf.
Well, okay, yeah, we've made the flights.
You're 2 for 2. Yeah, we've made the flights, and obviously we made the flight here. But I mean, it was literally, I would say, 15 minutes before 5 minutes before the gate closed, 15 minutes before the flight departed.
Wow, that's a little close.
Yeah, that was very close and very stressful. But you know what? Hey, I made it.
Yep.
I'm here, and we have a story to tell. So that's all that matters.
Well, that's exactly so. That would have been a bummer if you were still stuck, you know, somewhere in between Pittsburgh and Phoenix, trying to do whatever it is that, you know, this morning's deal. Because I know you got a lot of stuff you do. You got,
yeah.
Well, you got a couple broadcasts today, don't you?
I have a couple of them today. So yeah, you know, I definitely. And my layover was in Detroit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would have been a little tough trying to do it from Detroit. I guess I could have went to one of my cousin's houses, but no, I wanted to be home. I got home.
Yes.
And
what time did you get home? Oh man,
those
precious little girls of yours. They're so cute. Yeah.
So you know, obviously, I've been gone since Wednesday. So, they were happy to see me, but yeah, no. So when I finally found my car, because I forgot where I parked.
You're gone so long, you forgot where you parked.
At the airport. Well, because I flew out on American and I flew back home on Delta.
Okay.
So they're two separate terminals. So the first step was getting from one terminal to the next one. He had to take a bus because the SkyTrain wasn't running. And then I was low on gas, and then I had to go fill up my gas tank before I got home. So I didn't get home until like 11:45 last night.
So you had to be kind of a little bit abbreviated there, man. But bed felt good, I'm sure.
The bed, I didn't want to get out of it. I didn't want to get out of it. But the only thing that kept me going was knowing that I was going to be on the airwaves today with you, Wolf, and we're going to celebrate a victory. So
we are. But I do remember a time when you did an interview with Tunch and I when you were in bed.
Hey, listen. I'm not above it. I'm not above it. I have no problems doing it wherever it needs to be done. You know, hey, you just get it done.
That's tremendous.
But it's one of those things where, you know, you figure a way, right? You figure a way. If there's a will, there's a way. And if you're determined, you're going to do it. So I was determined, and we got it done.
Oh, there's no question about it. Look, there was such a palpable feeling of relief throughout the city last night. You know, you're just driving around, you know, seeing some people. And, you know, the neighbors are all happy. You know, you come home to your neighborhood, you know, and it's like, hey, we got one. You know, I mean, it's just you can feel like that. Just this was a badly needed victory. At 2-4 now, you're still close to the lead in the AFC North. I mean, what, the Ravens lost yesterday? Who else lost? What do we got?
Brownies lost.
Yep.
So, but the Bengals did pull it out against the Saints.
Yes, they did. Yeah. So that was a bummer. That would have been beautiful had they, you know, I mean, what icing on the cake then to have the Saints roll over the Bungles. But unfortunately, they weren't able to. But the Ravens getting tipped, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that was a complete surprise. I was not anticipating, you know, the Ravens losing. And once again, you know, I told this to my buddy who is a avid Dallas Cowboys fan. He was like, you guys still suck. I said, we might suck. But at the end of the day, bud, I was like, we're still in our race for our division. I said, you technically are third in your division after that loss last night. And guess where the Pittsburgh Steelers are after that? Oh, that's right. We're third in our division as well, by the way. In case you were wondering about how it all played out, I was like, I take that back. We went to fourth. Oh, because Cleveland and us are tied and they have the tiebreaker.
Okay.
And the Bengals are 3-3. So never mind. So we're fourth. I'm not gonna dwell on it. But we are only one win out of first place. Because like you said, Cincinnati and Baltimore only have one more win than us. And we have the tiebreaker over Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's 0-2 in the division. So
I like that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm still good with it. But Let's step aside and take a break.
Shall we? What do you think we're going to do in that this next segment coming up? What do you think, buddy?
Well, it's the good, the bad, the ugly, right? So I think if we're going to focus on the good, since that's the first area of it, I think we should, you know, let's start thinking about our first game ball each.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. But I do want to make sure that we know that you can subscribe now to In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, and every episode we do is available for you to download. Subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you find your podcasts. And we'll be back after this. We're on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Victory!
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Long count, gets the snap. He's back. Fires for the end zone. Touchdown, Chase Claypool. Wow! And the give. Mitch keeps it after the give, or the fake to Warren, and he runs for the lead stick. Did he make it?
Yeah!
Inbounds inside the 30 to the 28-yard line.
You know, it's that Mitch started the season with us, so we had that confidence in him, that timing with him. So it wasn't like we had to figure things out. We were calling the same plays. And hats off to him because he was very poised, and he did his thing.
You know, I got to tell you, Max, my first game ball, I got to give it to Chase Claypool. This is the Chase that I believed his – I just believed this guy was capable of this and do so over and over again. I hope this is a starting point for this young man. I've believed in his talent, his attributes. But like everybody else, I kept saying, where is it? Well, we saw it. This is what this young man is capable of doing when he talks about being a high-level performer at the wide receiver position. He's targeted 7 times, 7 receptions, 96 yards, 13.7 average, and 1 TD. Gadzooks, man, that's Chase Claypool, the guy that I thought he was. He showed up yesterday.
He was who he thought he was.
Or we who thought he was his who. I don't know. Then you get all confused.
So it's a lot of French and Latin in there.
Yeah.
but no, you're right. This was the coming out party for Chase. I mean, like you said, the most eye-popping thing, I think, is not the yards, is not the touchdown. It's a 7 for 7, right? 7 targets,
right.
7 catches. And not all of those were easy, clean throws.
No.
Right? He made combat catches. Now, you go back last home game. You go back last week, right? Missed passes, missed combat catches, ball bouncing off, you know, his chest.
Right.
Like, he cured all those ills in this moment. He got big. He understood what the assignment was, and he went out there and performed. And so glad that not only did Chase come alive, but we also got rid of the other curse that was hanging over us, Wolf, that we didn't mention, throwing a touchdown pass to a wide receiver.
Yes.
We got to exorcise that demon, and Chase Claypool absolutely deserves a game ball. You know, you got to give it up to the big guy. The big guy came through. He played as big as his frame was. And it was a beautiful thing to see, right? Crunch time. Remember those third downs, third and 11s, you know, third and 10 plus. And there was no doubt, you know, in his mind. It's like, ball's coming to me, and guess what? We're getting the first down. We're moving the chains. I thought that was tremendous by Chase, and boy, oh boy, that is a good one. And I just want to echo. I'm gonna play off of your Chase game ball, Wolf.
All right.
I'm giving it to Mitch Trubisky. I did it. Will you think about it, Mitch? Coming in there after Kenny goes down.
Yeah.
Mitch went 9 for 12 for 144 yards. Touchdown pass. The one we said, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his quarterback rating, a 142.4. Huh?
Say what?
Right? 142.4. 1.4. I couldn't be more proud of Mitch. When you think about kind of the rapid fall, right?
Right.
With him, with the decision to go to Kenny Pickett, last home game, you get pulled after halftime.
And Max,
and then
don't overlook and go ahead and open up about this. How tough is it when you face that moment when you get pulled like that? That is, I can't tell you what a blow that is to your professional confidence, your ego, everything. It hurts, man. It hurts bad. And yet that dude just stuck his chin out. And, you know, I don't want to gloss over the fact that he was able to come back and right himself and do so strongly, so shortly after suffering what a lot of people don't understand, how bad that hurts when you get yanked like that.
Yeah, no, it is. It's one of the toughest things, right? It's essentially, let's just put it this way. If you have your favorite whatever, right, whether it's your favorite shoes, your favorite T-shirt, your favorite item, something that you cling to, something that brings you fond memories, that gives you that nostalgia, right? Everybody's got a favorite something in this world, and you get it ripped from you.
Yeah.
The amount of mental anguish, the anxiety, the angst, just the self beating up, like the internal beating up that you do to yourself in that moment about how could I have let this happen? What did I do? Man, I suck. You know, I'm not meant for this. Blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. You start reading into what you think other people view you as. Your confidence is shaken. And to do it in such a public forum, right, on national television, a packed stadium. Most people, you get to go through this somewhat alone.
Yeah.
Or a very small visibility. You know, imagine going to work and doing a job that you enjoy doing and them telling you you're fired.
In front of 80,000 people
in front
a workforce.
Of 80,000 and millions of people watching on cameras.
Yeah.
Right? That is the biggest. And the fact that he stood there, he took it, he was dressed the following week in Buffalo, the place that he just was at.
Right.
That he was probably had that circled on his calendar. Man, I'm coming back to Buffalo. I'm going to show them what they're missing out on, right?
Right.
I'm going to go compete against my old buddy in Josh Allen. And you don't get to do that at all. You don't take a snap in that game, and we got blown out. And then you come into this game, and you're sitting on the sidelines, and then all of a sudden you're rushed into action. And to complete – this is the other thing. To have a 75% completion percentage in this game, and to know that you're coming into a place that essentially does not want to see you at quarterback. Like, the Boo Birds were ready for Mitch Trubisky. They were ready for him to stumble. They were ready for him to be rusty. They were ready for him to play bad, and he did not give them that satisfaction.
No.
In fact, he delivers a W in Acrisure against the GOAT and – played a superb game. And also, I know this stat isn't sexy, but I still got to throw it out there. 6 rushes for 5 yards. Now, the reason why it's 5 and it's not 23 is because he got sacked 2 times for 18 yards.
Yeah.
So they take that away from his rushing. But what he did, that 9-yard run, come on now, Wolf. Let's
that
talk
was
about
huge.
That.
Was that not beautiful? He knew where the sticks were. He went right for it.
Went right for this. He wasn't sliding at 9 yards. He wasn't sliding a yard short.
No.
He was going in there. And is it me, Wolf, and let me not be crazy about this, but didn't you see he played a lot looser than he had been in the previous games?
Yes, he played a lot looser, and yes, you still are crazy. I mean, I know you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's true. Right,
so
that's true.
Just putting it out there, okay, bud?
Crazy for thinking that thought in this moment. Okay, how about that? I have to preface that.
There you go.
Obviously I do say a lot of crazy things. But it was amazing to see Mitch just kind of say, you know what? It's okay not to follow the rules, right?
Right.
It's okay. I don't have to stare down someone in the pocket or wait till that guy opens up. The lane opens up, run it. Get mobile. I got feet. He knows how to run. He passed his conditioning test, you know?
yes, he did.
Yeah, and it was just tremendous to see a different Mitch Trubisky out there on the field. Now, obviously, we don't know with the concussion protocols, this, that, and the other. But, you know, at first, that was my biggest fear, was that, you know, you would have to – you would be benching Mitch, and then if something should happen to Kenny that he would have to go in, how would he respond?
Right.
Right. That's always in the back of your head, because there's only two ways you can respond, Wolf. And it's the diamond method, right?
Okay. Tell me about it.
Pressure can either burst pipes or create diamonds, right? I'm talking about a lump of coal.
Yeah.
It can either burst those pipes with pressure, or it can make a diamond. And I thought yesterday was a diamond performance by Mitch. That's why I gave him the game ball, because he came in, he stood there proud, and he played a heck of a football game, given the circumstances, right? Coming in, couple throws notice, you know, on the sidelines, like on the field, as Kenny was getting evaluated and escorted off the field. He had a couple of throws and then went out there and just performed. And I thought it was tremendous, and you got to honor that. I mean, for a young man mentally to be that strong mentally, and us see the manifestation of that mental toughness, and it end in the way that we did. Yeah, bravo, man. Bravo. Standing ovation. Nothing else. I mean, you did it. In the moment where we needed you the most, protected the lead, you advanced the lead, and you kept us in that ball game when most people would have written it off or written us off after that. So I have to do that, Wolf, and I thought it was a great one to start. You know what I'm going to do, Wolf? I want to step aside because I want to keep doing game balls.
Okay. All right.
And I don't want to start another game ball and we have to go to break. So I figure, why not just break a little early so that we have more time on the back end? And maybe we can do two more each before we end the hour. How about that?
You're going to pressure me, huh?
It sounds crazy. It sounds crazy, but like you said, you already knew I was crazy, so I can do that.
Yeah, that's the true word, brother. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's step aside, and let me just make sure that I say this before we go off these airwaves. Did you know the godfather of Pittsburgh sports is back? Yes, that's right. Stan Savran is producing a podcast twice a week on these very airwaves for us, and also in your podcastification centers, where you can go hear Stan Savran on Tuesdays and Thursdays every week. New podcasts will be uploaded onto the Steelers Radio mobile app, Steelers mobile app, and also the iHeartRadio app. And then, of course, on all the other podcast platforms, you can catch him. So please tune in, subscribe to the Godfather of Pittsburgh Sports as he talks everything Steelers as well, bringing you all the news and the updates. Obviously, he comes on right after the Mike Tomlin press conference, so Tuesday is always a good day to catch that podcast. But, you know, it's going to be fun. We're going to keep talking about game balls. We're still going to focus on the good. We'll get to the bad and the ugly later, but right now, it's good to be us on a Victory Monday here in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And they give the ball to the left, and from the backside, Terrell Edmonds runs right up Leonard Fournette's backside. Oh, there's a man getting off the field late, wide open. Here comes Connor Hayward down the middle of the field. 35, 25, he's at the 15. He's tackled at the 10. Too many men on the field for Tampa Bay. Who cares?
You can't get it with one. You can't get it with two. You can't even get it with 12, Wolf. 12 men could not stop the Steelers train yesterday on that play. And it leads me into my next game ball, which I've got to give to the young one, Connor Meatball Hayward. We're going to come up with a new nickname, but right now, Meatball it is. I know he doesn't like it.
It was the Meatball Express going down the field yesterday.
It was.
But I know, when I talked to him pregame, he's like, I don't really like that. That or shrimp cocktail. So we got to come up with something better.
Well, you know, it's tough when your brother is Cam and you're not the same size as him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like you are literally and figuratively the little brother.
Yes, you
right?
are.
Right? I mean, yeah. So, but I'll tell you this, though. How throwback was it when you saw both, like, his shoulder pads were exposed, like, with the jersey kind of curled up underneath from guys trying to tackle him?
Right.
Kind of gave me, like, that Brian Bosworth type of look.
Right. It was fun.
It was so much fun. And like you said, that play, 45 yards on that completion. And how huge was it in that moment? Because that's what set up Mitch Trubisky having the pass to Claypool in the end zone to finish off that drive. But definitely sparked by that big play by Connor Hayward. 2 of 3 for 49 yards. Average 24.5 yards a catch. And, of course, that long was the one, the highlight we hear of Billy and you from the game yesterday. So I got to throw the little meatball, you know, a meatball sandwich, you know, in the form of a game ball, you know, because he did it. He did it. He came in, and we were already down Pat Freiermuth at the beginning of this game. So Zach Gentry got bumped up to the starting role, who had a very solid day as well. But Connor Hayward coming in, a lot of those two tight end sets, and doing work as well. So he was my next game ball, Wolf.
You know what? That's yours. A great choice, because also he had some added blocking duties that he did very well on. You know, he was the guy coming across the back leading on some of those what we used to call whams, where he'd come across the back and lead up in the hole. He did that very well. You know, he's not that big of a guy. You know, as you kind of pointed out, and yet he goes in there and he gets some people. You know, he'll put the whack on you if you give him the opportunity to be able to get down there and use the Meatball Express, shall we say. Oh, that's terrible. Because I know I got to be careful, because I know he doesn't like it. But it is absolutely a great moniker. You know, I mean, you know, if you got a little sense of humor.
I mean, listen. And the Hayward family should not be new to nicknames, you know? Dad's named?
Ironhead.
Cam's named?
Ironhead Jr.?
Captain Cam. Jeez. What? You can't go off script that fast. You're the one that calls him that. It's not even – you gave him the nickname, so – Yeah, I'm like, this will be an easy layup. Just throw it up in the air, let Wolf dunk it.
You know,
and
Wolf
didn't tie his shoelaces.
Never underestimate my ability to screw things up. Okay.
Oh man. Anywho, you have Captain Cam.
Yes, so Captain Cam.
So apparently, right now, ? Hayward will insert Meatball right now. How about that?
Exactly. But you know, that's a great choice, because again, in the absence of Pat Freiermuth, you needed somebody to be able to do what he did. And, you know, watching, Connor this summer up at camp, you know, he's got great hands. I mean, we watched him run some go routes up the sidelines, making some catches. You know, you saw that catch yesterday, and, you know, he's swerving and stumbling, bumbling, rumbling, that sort of thing. And, he just looks good running with the ball, man. So – he had an important role yesterday. He did a good job of it, and I think that's a worthy choice. On the other hand, I'm going to go defense, and I'm going to throw it to Terrell Edmonds, 10 tackles. You know, there was no big interceptions. There was no fumble recoveries, forced fumbles, that sort of thing that he was participating in. But it was the steadiness of keeping the back end together that kept Tom Brady from being able to take over that team. You know what I mean? That whole deal, man, with a guy like Terrell coming up and making some of the sticks near the line of scrimmage too. I can't say enough about what he does in the box and how he's able to get to and keep his run gaps and play like linebacker ferocity, and yet do so from a safety body. I think he's impressive.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that stick on White in the backfield for the TFL, right?
Yes, yes.
Was another one that I was like, okay, all right, yeah. All right, I got you. Terrell was playing man on fire, right?
Yes.
I mean, his hair was on fire that whole time. You know, taking the responsibilities of leading that secondary, knowing that you had the Isle of Misfit Toys back there, with the young guys with experience, and getting guys in the right place and just absolutely feeling and looking in control. You know, the Steelers never looked, oh, my God, you know, because they didn't have those breakaway plays, you know, that we're accustomed to. And I thought that was just tremendous. You saw guys playing really technically sound, trying to do the best job they could, right? When you've got – and Arthur Millette,
wow,
doing a
yeah.
tremendous job in the game. I know the stat book doesn't reflect it. You know, it says only 3 combined tackles, but he was in on everything. You know, if he wasn't bouncing it to the next guy or clogging up a hole off the edge – or just providing a pressure to force Tom Brady to throw it faster. I mean, Arthur Millette was doing a great job. And that comes on the backside of Terrell making sure that he backed him up at the nickel position and that he was they were transferring responsibilities and communicating cleanly. So I agree. I felt like that's a redemption ball for Terrell Edmunds in that situation.
You know, Terrell Edmunds did so very well, and I love the fact that you threw Arthur Millette in there too, because I can think of 3 times he came up and blitzed off the weak side and made a play. You know what I mean? Coming off the corner,
yes.
Coming off the B gap. You know, he was
yeah.
instrumental in tracking down Leonard Fournette on a couple of runs or the other guy, White. I'm not sure which he tackled, but I just remember him coming down the line and making some plays, bringing down that big hoss, Fournette, and doing a job there. And you know what? He is Mike Tomlin called him, real NFL dude. He is.
Yeah. Well, and he tackled through the legs too. It wasn't
yes.
one of those like he's going to throw the shoulder and try and trip him. Like he was wrap tackling, which, you know, I constantly harp on this. This is something that are usually business decisions by DBs, right?
Yes.
You know?
Business
especially
decisions. Business decisions.
The infamous. But always pertinent
yes.
business decision, and his business was chopping down legs and reform tackling, and he did it very well yesterday. But you know, my second game ball, Wolf,
okay.
is going to go on defense as well.
Okay,
my second game ball is going to the embattled one. It's a one, Mr. Larry Ogunjobi.
Oh, there
and
you go.
I give it to Larry because, I mean, you're going to look at his stats and say, well, Max, why did you give it to Larry? He only had 5 tackles in the game. 5 tackles for a D lineman, A, is big. But it's the tackle for loss in a key situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were running dive up the middle, and he hit Leonard Fournette in the backfield like 5 yards deep.
Yeah.
And then the 2 quarterback hits on Brady, like to pressure Brady before he wanted to be pressured because – last week, leading up into this, how do you affect Tom Brady? Pressure up the middle affects Tom Brady.
Right.
And Larry Ogunjobi understood the assignment and performed that assignment very well. How many times – I mean, the stat book doesn't show how many times he broke through the line and was in Tom's face. Outside of actually contacting him, he diverted the way that Tom Brady threw the football. And I thought that was key. And then when he went down – it was like, oh, man, that guy was a difference maker because he was the one that was charged with the one-on-one assignments, right? He had Shaq Mason a whole lot, and he was in there in the middle between him and Hainsey, and Cam was getting the double team. Alex Highsmith was getting the chip, so somebody else had to win.
Good point.
And Larry understood that, and Larry was absolutely winning in those moments. And so I appreciated – the dirty work that he was doing in the game, in the middle of the pile, and he did a tremendous job. And coming back off of an injury, you know, when you know a week ago, I'm sure he was frustrated not to be out there with his teammates. To then come and answer the call in that moment was huge. And I won't downplay it. That's why I want to make sure that I blow some smoke on him, because he definitely did the job yesterday, and it was noticeable. And again, he splashed. I'll say that. He splashed, Wolf, with the stats that he did have.
He did. He splashed and he splatted, because I remember one that he blew up. I can't remember where or when, but he just blew somebody up. And I'm thinking, this is the guy we've been waiting to see. You know, and I understand, when you come to a new team, it's not the easiest thing to enter in and immediately make an impact, especially, you know, when you're in the trenches and so forth. It's one of those situations where your comfort level is not what it was. You're with some new guys, you know, you get some possibly you have different terminology, and part of the system is a little bit new to you. So it's
new
kind
scheme.
Of like, well, yeah, new scheme. And it, to me, I'll tell you, the thing that really goofed me up when I went to Minnesota was the terminology. You know, what was a read block between a center and guard in Pittsburgh was a I can't even remember what it was called. It was something completely
scoop.
It was something completely different, you know. And I was just like, "Oh, that's crazy," you know. And then, of course, they were even to the left and odd to the right. When it's in Pittsburgh, it was odd to the right and even to the left in the numbering system. So it was a matter of like when you're tired and you couldn't remember which way was which. I had to put an O. And I had to put a like an even on my on my left foot and odd to the right. That's right. That's what is Minnesota. That's because you're tired. I wrote on a pen on the my shoes, so I could just look at them and remember.
Hey, listen.
When you're under duress in the trenches and it's 100 degrees out, it's a little hard sometimes to remember which is which.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I've had teammates who wrote it on their gloves.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, so it happens to the best of us. And, you know, for
you're
journalistic
integrity. You're not surprised
integrity,
at all, are you, when I admit that?
I absolutely not. I'm like, this par for the course right now on this show. But I will say this. For journalistic integrity purposes, I will say that you meant even to the right in Pittsburgh is odd on the right in Minnesota, and odd on the left Pittsburgh, odd on the right in Minnesota. So that flips it.
Did I do it backwards? Okay.
Yeah, because you were like, it's odd to the right in Minnesota and even to the left. And you're like, and then it's even to the left in Pittsburgh and odd to the right in Minnesota. I was like,
okay.
He just said the same thing, but he just flipped the left and rights.
This,
he just flipped the odds and
this
evens.
This is what short-term concussion syndrome looks like. Don't you laugh at me, because what do I always say?
Hey, you are the face of my future.
Oh, that's a nasty morning, isn't it?
hey, but here's the thing, though. I don't have to accept the brain. It's just the face covering, right? No,
exactly.
I'd like a return, sir. I'd like a return. This wasn't as advertised. I know it was on sale. I know it was on sale, but no.
What was that brain? What was the name on the jar? Abby Normal?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein. Yeah. But no. So, Wolf, but before we go to break, second game ball for you.
Second game ball. Man, there's – should we wait until we come back?
I mean, technically we could squeeze one in. Or, you know what?
Why not
do it in the power hour?
Let's do it in the power hour.
You'll lead off with your game ball, and then we'll have another one each in the next segment. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, let's do it. All right, we're going to step aside here. Remember, if you missed this hour or any of our show, you can go right to the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and also every other podcastification station that's out there, and you can actually hear our episodes broken down by hour. So this hour, you can actually go catch and just listen to that one. But you're not going to want to miss the second hour, so you might want to string them together. So find you 2 hours where you can actually dial in and listen to the shows. But if you're in a rush, you're in a pinch, you only want to listen to 1 hour, I get it. It's only half the fun, but I get it. So maybe you might be on a diet of fun. I don't know. You're on a diet for everything else, so maybe that's the thing. But you can go download those and all of our other beautiful podcasts on the SNR lineup on Steelers mobile app and iHeartRadio app. We're going to step aside here in the locker room with Wolf, Starks, and the Ninjas here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.